1:35-39. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." And he said to them, "Let us go on to the next towns, that I might preach there also, for that is why I came out." And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. One of my favorite quotes is from Blaise Pascal. Maybe his friends called him Blaise Pascal. I don't know. He wrote this. He said, "All of men's miseries derive from not being able to sit alone in a quiet room by himself." So Pascal was one of the greatest thinkers of the 17th century. He was a mathematician, a physicist, an inventor, a writer, and a Christian philosopher to top it off. And in this quote, Pascal's making a profound statement about the nature of humanity. He's saying that collectively, we have trouble sitting still. That silence scares us. That our rejection of quiet is a key contributor to many of the problems we have in our world today. What astounds me most about this quote is that he wrote it in the 1600s. You'd think in the 1600s it'd be a lot easier to have quiet time with God. After all, this was a time before iPods and smartphones, television, Wi-Fi, and Twitter. And almost 400 years later, his statement is more true than ever before. Many of us, myself included, are constantly connected to other people. I confess that I have to delete the Facebook app off of my phone whenever I go on holidays, otherwise I'm constantly finding out what people ate for dinner the night before and pretending like I care about it. I confess that my phone is almost always on me. You know, the other day I was reading a statistic that there's actually more mobile phones on Earth than there are human beings now. It means there's over 7 billion cell phones. And technological separation anxiety is becoming an issue not only for the upcoming generation, but also the other generations as well. I've talked to teenagers doing youth ministry who need to have earbuds in their ears playing music or a TV on in order to fall asleep at night. Pascal's words are truer than ever before, that silence has become abnormal to us, that in the city especially, noise is our reality. We want to stay connected, and we avoid being alone at all costs. Solitude is seen as an enemy. Yet when we look at the Bible, key to a Christian life is the practice of listening. Listening to the voice of God's Spirit and the inner stirrings of our own hearts. Key to our spiritual health is finding time alone with our Maker. Jesus in the Gospels modeled the importance of solitude and silence for all of us. In our passage today, we see this very clearly. When he was tempted to be caught up in all of the crazy, when he was tempted to become a hyped-up miracle worker, when he was tempted to compromise the mission he was called to, Jesus withdrew. Let's take a look again at our chapter, Mark 1. Let's try and see what Jesus was experiencing. Jesus was in Capernaum, and he had been very, very busy ministering to people. In verse 21, we see that he's been teaching. Later, we see that Jesus is casting out demons. Verse 28 reads, "And at once his fame spread everywhere throughout all the surrounding regions of Galilee." Jesus is growing in popularity and in fame among the people. He's becoming a household name among the hills of the countryside of Galilee. Next, he heals Peter's mother-in-law, and things get even crazier for Jesus. Verse 32 reads that at evening, at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or oppressed by demons. Then it says, and the whole city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. So what I'm reading here is that essentially Jesus has just pulled an all-nighter. How many of you have been part of youth ministry before? I think a number of faces I recognize from my youth days. As a youth leader, you're used to pulling all-nighters. And you know just how rough the day after an all-nighter is. When you've been up with youth playing video games and eating pizza, you're pretty tired the next day. But Jesus wasn't up all night stuffing himself with stuffed crust pizza and playing Xbox. No, Jesus was casting out demons. And remember that Jesus was fully man and fully God. Philippians 2 says that he was under the same limitations as we are as human beings, that he emptied himself. So can you imagine the emotional and the physical drain that Jesus must have been under? The whole city is gathered to his door. He's preaching. He's casting out demons. He's in high demand among the people. They are flocking to him with their issues, their hurts, their sicknesses, and even literally their demons. And so how will Jesus respond to this? Will he stay with them and enjoy his newfound popularity? Will he bask in his fame among the people? Will he continue a string of miracles and revel in his identity as a miracle man among them? Well, our passage tells us exactly how Jesus responds. It says he rose early in the morning while it was still dark. He departs and goes out to a desolate place, and he prays. The disciples get antsy. They start looking for him, and they say, Jesus, everyone is looking for you. And Jesus responds, he says, let's go on to the next towns, that I might preach there also, for that is why I came out. You see, Jesus does something that feels very counterintuitive for us. In our culture, everybody wants to experience and live out their 15 minutes of fame to its fullest. We have this idea that it's okay to sacrifice everything for recognition and prestige. Yet here Jesus runs away from the spotlight. Instead, he wants to spend time in solitude and silence with God his Father. Now imagine what this must have been like for the disciples. Can you imagine how exciting this time of their lives would have been for them? Jesus was like a first century Palestinian rock star. And they got to be his roadies, his crew that went with him wherever he went. They got to be close to the miracle worker himself. Being associated with Jesus and all the hype that went with that must have made them feel affirmed and pretty good about themselves. They might have felt important or popular by association. And then here, the rock star himself decides he's going to go off alone by himself while people are trying to get a hold of him, when people are trying to knock down the door with their demons and their problems and their issues. And so Simon Peter freaks out a little bit. He goes searching madly for Jesus. And I can just imagine the conversation. There are fans to attend to, Jesus. You have to sign some autographs, Jesus. What about the people? You can't run off alone and pray. You don't have time for that. People need you. Don't you know you're a celebrity now? You're kind of a big deal, Jesus. What are you doing wasting your time? And Jesus' response, it's time to move on, Peter. Don't you remember what this is all about in the first place? If we look just in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus does this a couple other times too. He retreats. In chapter 6, after the miracle of feeding thousands of people with loaves and fishes, there arises a threat that the people could make Jesus the messianic king through an uprising. But Jesus doesn't fall for the temptation. He remembers what his kingdom is really about. He remembers the cross is his way forward. So he retreats in silence and looks to his Father to remember who he is, where he's come from, and where he's going. We see this again in a very dark hour for Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane in chapter 14. He's praying. He's remembering the mission of the God who has sent him. He submits to the will of his Father. And so over and over and over again, Jesus took time to be alone with God, to remember who he was, where he was going, what he was really supposed to do. Verse 35 in our chapter said that Jesus went out to a desolate place. He went to a place of quiet, a place of loneliness. He went out to the wilderness. And you know, sometimes I'm guilty of this. I think we're all guilty of this. We feel that our work is so important, or even our family is so important, that really we don't have time to be alone with God. There's all these things to attend to. And so we don't make quiet time with God a priority. Yet we see that if anybody was busy, and if anybody truly loved people, it was Jesus. And yet he understood that all of his strength, all of his power, all that really mattered in the world was found in the Spirit of God. Jesus was free from the fear of loneliness, free from the need for constant noise. He was not, to quote Pascal, afraid of sitting alone in a room by himself. Richard Foster wrote a classic book called Celebration of Discipline. And in it, he makes the case of the importance of spiritual disciplines for Christians to be formed into the likeness of Christ. He spends a chapter tackling the discipline of solitude, and he writes this. He says, Jesus calls us from loneliness to solitude. We can cultivate an inner solitude and silence that frees us from loneliness and fear. And then this is the best part. He says, loneliness is inner emptiness. Solitude is inner fulfillment. Isn't that good? We do not enter silence and solitude like those without God, because we know that we are never truly alone. While many, especially Eastern religion, enter solitude as a way of emptying themselves and getting rid of desire, we as people of God come to silence, come to solitude as a way of being filled, as a way of communion with God. Time alone with God is fuel for our souls. Just as exercising and eating right strengthens our body, solitude strengthens our spirit. And even modern science is beginning to realize the power of solitude. I want to read you a quote from the Boston Globe. It says, an emerging body of research is suggesting that spending time alone, if done right, can be good for us. That certain tasks and thought processes are best carried out without anyone else around. that even the most socially motivated among us should regularly be taking time to ourselves if we want to have fully developed personalities and be capable of focus and creative thinking. There's even research to suggest that blocking off enough alone time is an important component of a well-functioning social life. That if we want to get the most of the time we spend with people, we need to make sure we're spending enough time away from them. Another study I read said that teenagers who take time in solitude, away from peers, and especially away from technology, are more likely to succeed in school and are statistically at a lower risk for depression. So modern science is pointing to the fact that there just might be something after all to the practice of solitude. And so it makes me wonder, what blessings, what freedoms could be possible in my life, in your life, if only we would follow the example of Jesus more often and spend that time alone with God. I know in my own life, in my own development as a human being, solitude has been valuable in growing with Christ. Bethel used to have a pastor, Bill Tuninga, and he was at the Urban Sanctuary and really emphasized the role of the disciplines, really emphasized to us as a staff about going away. And so I made it my goal to go away to a retreat center at Edmonton once every 3 months for just a day of quiet. And you know, at first it's very hard. And if any of you have done it, it's just like, wow, this is productive. What am I doing here? But it's in those times that God forms us, that we can hear his voice, that we're built up. It feels very counterintuitive to us at first. If you're anything like me, your mind automatically goes to your to-do list and all of these things that you should be doing. But the truth is that compulsion to always do is from the pit. That's not from God. And while sometimes it's hard to set up in our schedule, and sometimes, you know, we feel really guilty about it, I have found that my times alone with God to be incredibly life-giving and eventually even enjoyable. Because when I'm down, God lifts me up. When I'm focused on me, he points me to him. When I'm empty, he fills me up, and he places his Holy Spirit in me fresh and new for another day. And so many of us have daily times with God that we set aside, and this is important. But I think it is important to have those longer times as well. And in Edmonton alone, I think, does Ron Klock go to this church? I think he does. No? Never mind. I think he does like a silent retreat or something. All I know is that in Edmonton alone, there's a number of silent retreat centers that you can go to. You can pay $5 or $10. They'll give you a room for a day with no distractions and no Wi-Fi. It's fantastic. And so maybe God is leading you to do something crazy, to say to your family, I need a day. Maybe wives, you want to release your husbands to do something crazy like this. Or maybe husbands, you want to release your wives to do something crazy like this. Prayer starts as something that we have to work at and can feel like a discipline. But as we get going, it eventually becomes something that we can't properly function without. And I mean, life changes. For me, Jessica and I were married for... help me out, 6 years before we had our daughter. And so it was a whole lot easier to spend that time in silence when there's not a screaming baby. And right, so everybody's at a different life stage. So it's important to look at your life and where you're at and go, how can I be creative with this? And constantly make adjustments to make it work. Prayer and solitude isn't just for the super spiritual Christian. It's as normal as breathing for a Christian. It doesn't mean you have to turn into a weird hermit who lives in the desert. It doesn't mean you have to smell funny, not use deodorant, or drink cactus milk. Because Jesus calls all of us, all of his followers, to come away with him in quiet. Even extroverts need silence from time to time. Because ironically, like the research shows, being in silence is often the best thing we can do for our social lives. Thomas Merton wrote, "It is in deep solitude that I find the gentleness with which I can truly love my brothers. The more solitary I am, the more affection I have for them. Solitude and silence teach me to love my brothers for what they are, not for what they say." Like I said, we can be afraid for many reasons of silence. We can fear the lack of productivity, relying on the work of our hands rather than the work of God. We can fear being alone with ourselves and being alone with our hurts. Because the truth is, if you sit in silence and solitude long enough, it may mean that we have to deal with the deep hurts and pains in our lives that we try to keep away from us, that we try to drone out with all of the busy and all of the noise. But consider this. God is a healer. Jesus loves you. And he wants to heal you. He wants you to bring those deep things to him. And we are never truly alone because God is with us in the silence. So in closing today, I want to ask you, how is God calling you in this moment to himself? What blessings could await us if only we would spend that time alone with God in silence? Perhaps, like in the case of Jesus, the Spirit of God wants to remind you of who you really are, where you've come from, and where you are going. Perhaps he wants to remind you of his deep love and care for you. Perhaps, in a world filled with hurry and busy, he wants to give you rest for your soul. Do you hear the voice of Jesus in your heart saying, "Come away with me, and I will give you rest"? Let's pray together. Father, you are the great King of creation. With your voice, you called the universe into being. You are in the loud roar of the oceans, and also in the quiet whispers of the wind. Forgive us, God, when we ignore that still small voice inside. Forgive us, God, when we get caught up in our lives and all of the busy and the noise and forget that we need to spend time alone with you. Help us with the promised presence and empowerment of your Holy Spirit to come to you as we are, and allow you to form us and mold us into more and more of the new people of God for the new creation. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, Amen.